Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and get started, if that's okay. It's 2 o'clock, we do have a quorum. Do we need to call
the roll?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to call the roll. Some of you are new to me, so if I mispronounce your name, please correct me. Rebecca Evans. Chris Engel.
Here.
Jay Simple.
Here.
Juan Diego Wayne.
Here.
John Morton.
Here.
Emily Kilroy.
Here.
Jennifer Leon. Leon?
Lyon.
Lyon. Thank you. Okay. Jip?
Yes, I'm here.
How do I say your last name?
It's Palakawong. Phonetically, like the spell.
Okay, I'm going to write that down for myself and take a shot at it next time.
Okay.
Russ Cromberg.
Here.
Jay Penn.
Here.
Steve Lapisto-Curtley.
Here.
Danny Shea. Cecil Banks.
Here.
Francois Abadie. Brad Ull.
Here. Yule.
Yule. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Do you want the new folks to introduce themselves?
Yes. Yes. I would like the people that are new to the board. First of all, welcome to everybody. I'm Bela Pisto-Curtley, and Russ Cromberg is the vice chair so far.
Possibly.
Possibly. Anyway. But welcome to everybody. And would the new members please, if we could go around, just tell us a little bit about yourself or introduce yourself.
Maybe we can start with Jay Simple.
Jay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jay Simple. I'm an artist. I run a nonprofit in town, The Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. It's like a free studio art center on the mall. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Jip, I think you're next around the table.
Yes. My name is Jip. I'm the general manager with Blue Ridge Tech Green. Outdoor recreation. I'm also on the board for Camden, which is the Charlottesville area mountain bike club as well.
Brad Yule. I am part of a group that manages Grit Coffee here in town and Shelter Brewing and the Wool Factory. Here is City Food and Beverage.
Good. Thank you.
Good. All right. Well, thank you very much. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on the board. We really look forward to working with you, and we look forward to you being involved, especially with your expertise. Thank you. That's going to add a lot. Okay, next we have established meeting schedule.
Yeah, so you would have received in your board packet the proposed meeting dates and times for this calendar year, and we have a resolution here that if folks want to move forward with those dates, or if you want to discuss them, that now is the time.
Any comments, discussion regarding the dates? Any problems, concerns? Okay. We need a motion to approve, and then we'll read the resolution.
I believe so. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So moved.
Do you have a second? Okay. We have a second by Emily Kilroy. Motion by Russ Cromberg. If you'd please call the roll. Yes, please. Courtney. Go ahead.
I can do it. Yeah. Director Abdi. Director Banks.
Aye.
Director Cronberg.
Aye.
Director Engel.
Aye.
Director Ivins. Director Kilroy.
Aye.
Director Lapisto-Curtley.
Aye.
Director Lyon.
Aye.
Director Palakawong. Dr. Pun. Director Pun. Director Shea. Director Simple.
Yep.
Director Yule.
Aye.
Director Wade.
Aye.
Director Warden.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. So then we should read the resolution?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Whereas the It's a resolution to schedule regular meeting dates, whereas the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Board, the CACVB, historically and regularly has been on the fourth Monday of even-numbered months for its regular meeting, and CACVB finds it prudent to publish the dates, times, and locations of its regular monthly meetings for the following year. Now, therefore, be it resolved on this date, 26 February 2024, that the CACVB shall conduct its regular meetings according to the following schedule at the location in the links below. And that, I should read the dates. 22 April at 2 o'clock, 24 June at 2, 26 August at 2, 28 October at 2, 16 December at 2, 24 February 2025 at 2. And be it further resolved that the Secretary of the CACVB shall cause a copy of this resolution to be posted at the Albemarle County Office Building located at 401 McIntyre Road, Charlottesville, Virginia.
All right, I think we're good.
And I will sign it, and that's it. We've already voted. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next we have election, that's you.
Yes. Next we have the election of officers, and Lauren is our attorney for those of you who are new. She usually has a spot at the table, but I didn't do a good job today about making sure she had one.
I like
my back there. I do also have a Wi-Fi password, which is a little off topic, but it's Fuel the Love if anyone is looking for that. Can you walk us through the election of officers, please?
Yeah, I think you can just make a motion to propose the slate of officers and then let everybody vote on it. Because you have a slate already.
Okay. Yes, we do have a slate already.
Courtney, can you close the door? It's a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
You're a little bit outside of it.
Thank you. Okay. Could we get a motion to propose the slate of B. Lepisto Kirtley as chair and Russ Kronberg as vice chair?
So moved.
All right. I think John beat you to it, Chris. And then,
just open it.
If there's any discussion,
we need a second.
Oh, we need a second.
Second.
Thank you. Anyone?
Any
comments or discussion questions?
Are you guys really sure?
Are you that sure?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Don't talk them out of it.
Yeah, we're not sure, so we're really asking anyone else.
Thank you for doing it.
Oh,
thanks.
Our pleasure. It's going to be more of a co-chair type thing, frankly.
It's her way of saying she's going to push some work on.
At least she's transparent about it.
the county has always been transparent in everything we do.
Okay. All right, so then we need
roll call.
A roll call on that.
Sure. We have a motion.
I'm
going
to call it in the same order you have it.
Okay.
Director Abadie. Director Banks. Director Kronberg.
Aye.
Director Engel.
Aye.
Director Evans. Director Kilroy.
Aye.
Director Lepisto Kirtley.
Aye.
Director Lyon.
Aye.
Director Polanco Wong.
Aye.
Director Pun.
Aye.
Director Shea. Director Simple.
Aye.
Director Yule.
I think it's all. All?
You got it right.
Cool.
Okay,
great.
Cool. Okay, excuse me.
I'm learning, I promise. Director Wade.
Aye.
And Director Wharton.
Aye.
Super. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Next, we have rules and procedures. So
we don't have any proposed rules and procedures. If anyone had any that they would like to propose, now is the time. So we roughly use Robert's rules, but we haven't we need to move to make it that way annually if we're going to. We have an operating agreement and bylaws,
right.
But this is how we interact with each other. Yes.
Right. So for interaction, we just use Robert's rules of order, and unless we all want to add some things or take some things away or. and we could see how it goes. If that's a need in the future, we could also do that. Otherwise, that's just how we operate, you know, Barbara's Wheel Supporter.
So for the purposes of this item, we would be approving the use of Robert's Wheel Supporters for our procedures?
If we'd like to formalize that, yes.
We haven't formalized anything in the past, right?
I think maybe once.
Well, I move for approval of using Robert's Rules as a standard operating procedures, or is that the right terminology?
Sure. Sounds good. Okay, we have a second.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Second by Cecil, right? Thanks. And then
I'll call the roll.
Call the roll.
Director Abedin. Director Banks.
Aye.
Director Kronberg.
Aye.
Director Engel.
Aye.
Director Ivins. Director Kilroy.
Aye.
Director Lapusto-Kirtley.
Aye.
Director Lyon.
Aye.
Director Palakawang.
Try it again.
We're going to get this by the end, I swear. Director Pun.
Aye.
Director Shea. Director Simple.
Aye.
Director Yule. Director Wade.
Aye.
Director Wharton.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, moving right along, we have the consent agenda, which is we have approval of previous meeting minutes. Do you want that separate or together?
I think we can do them together.
Together, and the financial statement. You all received this ahead of time? Any questions?
No, I'll move for approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can we do aye?
Yeah.
Okay. Any opposed? Any opposed? Okay.
Super.
Any abstentions? Okay, so moved. Thank you. All right, and then Courtney will now take us into our FY25 budget presentation.
All right. Thanks, guys. We're going to, we have a lot on our plate today, so I'm going to keep things moving pretty quickly, but We have money left over in our fund balance for this fiscal year that we need to spend before the end of the fiscal year. For those of you who are new to the board, we are able to move money from one fiscal year to the next because of this fund balance, but we are not allowed to go over 5% of our budget, and so in order to make our budget balance, we need to move forward this amount of money. So we usually find out in December what that amount is, and then we come to the February board meeting to ask for approval. I also need approval for any expenditures over $100,000. So this is how we proposed that we spend this money, and we sent this out a little while ago, but if we can get, if there are no questions about it or comments about it, then if we can move forward with a voice vote, that would be where we'd head next.
Could you just touch on the basically what it is and the amounts, please?
Yeah, so we're proposing that we spend $150,000 on radio advertising. We've been testing marketing with iHeartRadio up in the DC area. It's worked really, really well for us. I hear from friends who live up there. I used to live up there myself, but they hear it, and it's been really positively received. Print and digital advertising, where we're proposing in food and wine and travel and leisure, that allows us to create some more content with them. And play up the Wine Region of the Year accolade. The next one is Bon Appetit, Condé Nast, same kind of thing, major travel publications in the United States and a little bit abroad, and then a little bit more for wine enthusiasts to put that message out while we can make use of that accolade. Mm-hmm. So those are the channels that we're proposing.
Question.
The amounts. Okay.
Yeah.
No. You go ahead.
Yeah. The amounts on each. Because I don't know if everyone can see it clearly. So.
Okay. So the first one says 150, and the rest are 100,000.
Okay. On the radio, maybe Brantley can answer this, or you can. Why iHeart versus the other digital channels? What is it? Subscriber base is bigger in these markets specifically, or versus like a Spotify or some of the other streaming platforms?
I don't know. So, Brantley, do you know?
Yeah, so with iHeart, we're able to hit all of our target geographic markets. So we can be on in D.C., Virginia Beach area, Charlotte, probably Durham, and I'm blanking on the third one, apologies, I just came back from a big trip. So it allows us to be in all of our target markets.
Baltimore.
At the same time, Baltimore, that's the one, thank you. So that's the reason for it, and they're already a registered vendor with the county and the SEC, which is also something you have to take into consideration with a tight turnaround.
And also, I have 5 years in the radio business.
Oh, super.
Yeah, iHeart's Clear Channel Radio. So those are actually broadcast stations in the D.C. market. What I was curious about is they also include in Harrisonburg and Winchester.
In the D.C. buy?
Did they consider, are you, when they say the D.C. market, are they talking about the MSA? Or
it would be the DMA.
The DMA?
Yeah.
So that would include their Winchester stations as well.
I don't know that Winchester would be included in that. I can check on it.
They would probably add it on for free.
I can find out for you.
Oh, so this is real radio.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. So that's cool.
So in the D.C. area, there are a lot of people who spend a lot of time commuting.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just joking. I got it. I got it.
All right.
I'm just joking.
I had a question. What's the time frame of this?
This
is this moving forward, or is this currently going on now?
We can't run it until you guys give us approval. So this is ready to go tomorrow or like this week?
Well, we can pull the trigger on this once we get the approval.
Yeah, so we're ready to go on it, but we can't go on it until we have the approval. And then it would go through the end of June, which is the end of the fiscal year.
And these are existing radio spots, or would these be creative being done by them?
We would be refreshing a spot that we're running currently.
Any other questions? And please, the new members, feel free to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, so
what is radio?
It's okay. What is radio? No other questions? Concerns? Okay. Well, we need a motion to approve. Do I have a motion to approve the fund balance the budget the FY25 budget presentation, fund balance presentation.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay.
Not to be nitpicky, but I do think it should be to approve the expenditures, not the presentation.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much. All right. To approve, I amend it to approve the expenditures, the fund expenditures.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do we do a roll call?
I think a roll call is okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. You've got your, you can pull the trigger.
So the next part of this is the presentation of the draft budget. I'm not proposing that we pass this today. We have a SIR presentation coming up, and we want to have a board interaction in that part of the presentation. So. Please ask questions now, but if we have a lot of questions, then I may ask for you to send them to me, and then I can compile them and get you all a response in the next week or two. So here are the revenue amounts. The contributions from the city and the county are fixed. They're based on the lodging tax collection from 2 years in the past, and so this will be... those amounts are fixed, as I said. The $40,000 is how much we make on advertising on visitcharlottesville.org. And that's what we budgeted for this year as well. Sorry, did you have any questions on the revenue? I'm going to keep moving. Sorry?
Go back one first.
Yeah.
Do you know what's driving the county contribution going up for the current percentage in the city?
So this is really COVID, we're talking about COVID recovery here.
2022?
Yeah.
Okay.
This number will be FY 2023.
Okay, actual fiscal year 2023.
Yes. So we have a fixed percentage of the lodging tax, so as the lodging tax increases, we get more money, and so that amount going up is probably a little bit due to Keswick finding its footing, and maybe the return of some, a lot of rooms in the county, especially at some of the larger hotels were wrapped up in UVA rooms for COVID. And so they would have negotiated a much lower rate, and also over a contracted period of time, they wouldn't have paid the TOT. So there were rooms that were occupied, but we weren't seeing the revenue from them. So I imagine that has something to do with it as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Salary difference, I don't know that there's much to discuss at this juncture. This does allow for an increase. I don't think that we have clear direction on where the county's headed with that. So I'm working through where we are, where we need to go for salary increases if we're going to have that this year. So I don't have a lot of information on that at this point. But the rest of these costs are fixed as county employees. The part-time piece is for the ability to hire interns primarily, and that's the bucket that we pay them out of. Any questions on this part?
The overtime piece.
Yes. That happens sometimes, and so if we don't budget for it, then we have nothing to draw down, but we don't typically work overtime.
Okay.
Yeah. But we have several employees who qualify for overtime if they end up working extra hours.
Yeah. Any questions? Comments? Okay.
These are the marketing-related expenditures. As you can see, the primary bucket is marketing and advertising. That's where we put most of our effort. That is why we're a destination marketing organization. That's what we do. Our website cost is pretty well fixed. You'll notice that it's $30,000 and we bring in $40,000, so it does pay for itself, which is really great, with a little extra. We've increased the cost of printing. As Roy could tell you in the back, the cost of printing continues to go up. So in order to print out the same number of visitor guides, we need more money. Postage and pretty much everything else is the same. The research went down because we are contracted with SIR for the master plan this year and won't be next year. So that's the biggest difference there. And we did join some membership organizations, which is part of why the dues and subscriptions went up a little bit. Any questions there? Yeah.
I don't know if this is a better question for before or now, but so the 450 in additional expenditures that we just reviewed and talked about would have come out of that 726 or in addition to the 720, like
the fund balance is super complicated, like it's hard to understand, so don't worry about that. The fund balance is the extra amount that we had when we carried over from last year, so we end in June, our fiscal year ends in June, going into July, and we're notified in December of kind of what the balance is there. And so that's what is in the fund balance. So that is an expenditure for this fiscal year. What we're talking about right now starts July 1st.
Okay.
So it's in our bylaws that we have to present the budget at the annual meeting, which is what this is. And then we approve that in April. Does that help?
What he's asking is, how did we get to a fund balance of $500,000?
Seems like a lot, right? So
yes.
Is that because of ARPA funds that you were using, and then it just...
It's a little bit because of ARPA funds. It's a little bit of lack of clarity in the process of what goes on which budget year, and we're still working through that with the county. We thought that we were spending money in last budget year, but because we do a big ad buy over the summer, some of it got reallocated to this budget year. So
that's not a thing that happens every year at that amount. That's abnormal.
Don't want it to happen
that's
at that
not,
amount.
That's not
the goal. So hopefully moving forward, we would keep it around like $100,000 so that we have something in that fund balance in case we have something that happens. So we have something there. Our finance secretary, who's not in the room at the moment, did some research on to see where we should be from kind of a percentage wise, and there isn't a kind of a base standard. We have to have enough money to have a fund balance and then spend enough down that we don't have to go over the amount that we're not allowed to carry over from the next fiscal year. So We are still working through it a little bit, but no, it is not our goal to have that level of a fund balance, and hopefully it would be much.
Just for point of reference, what that number was the year prior to that?
I don't have it off the top of my head. I would say it's around the same amount, probably, because there was ARPA funding, and we had four different streams of ARPA funding. So we are having a little bit of trouble with budget clarity on where, what, it's very important in the county process that funds get spent on a certain budget year, and if we do a huge buy in the summer, and so how we purchase is we'll negotiate with an advertiser for June, July, and August, and then depending on when those ads hit, that's which budget year they go into, and so that's why we need some additional clarity on when it's coming out of where, because it, we're moving a big chunk of money through in the summertime. But we've been working with the county finance department since the fall to try and make sure that that level of fund balance doesn't happen again. Yeah. All right. And then these are the administrative costs. I think probably, looking at this, the software went down. So these, many of the things that went down are based on what we anticipate from the county, and these are things that we pay back to the county for hardware and things like that. The lease obviously went up. For those of you who are new to the board, we just moved our office, and so we had a little tiny office. We have a larger office now, so that's why that major increase there. And then the janitorial services are costing a little bit more because our space is a little bit bigger. Any other questions there? Yeah.
What are GF admin charge?
So that is the amount that we pay the county to be our fiscal agent.
And is everyone in the new, or are you located now in the new offices? Or is
we
that
are.
Coming up? You are. Okay. And will future meetings be at the office?
When we are ready, yes.
So
you're welcome to come by the new office, but our furniture situation is not quite where it needs to be to host everybody, and Russ actually helped us a little bit with trying to figure out, envision the space for the boardroom, and we want to test it out a little bit before we decide that we're going to have all of our meetings there. So whenever we move there, we are going to move there. For these meetings, but let us right. test it out a little bit longer.
Anticipation?
We're hoping for the summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Any other questions on the budget? If you have any questions that you're thinking about and want to chat about, happy to do that. And then we do plan on passing it at the next board meeting, so if you have any major concerns, please reach out ahead of time. So that we can either plan on having a conversation at the next board meeting if it's bigger, or we can go through it. So, thanks. I'm going to, yeah, go ahead.
We can talk about this at a future meeting, but I think just reflecting on the buzz at the Monticello, the recognition for the wine region of the world event, there were a lot of folks who were like, oh, like, what's the CATVB planning to do to drive, to sort of ride the buzz? Around our wine region, and so I don't know, like now or later, if you could share a little bit about sort of how you're driving those marketing dollars differently or not, in sort of response to that recognition.
Yeah, I mean, the quick answer is all those advertisements that we just talked about in fund balance, and everything else we're doing. We have access to the Wine Star Award logo, and the Wine Star Award logo is going on all those ads. So we were already leaning very heavily into wine, so we're making sure that we're referencing that as we're making our ads. What we need to continue to do is bringing different parts of, you know, the tourism economy into the wine conversation, and as we're doing additional outreach, we'll continue to do that. But we're leaning pretty heavily into that accolade as long as we have that accolade. So most of our advertising dollars are going behind that message.
All right. So I'll keep it quick because I know we want to get to the SIR. But and Emily's comment actually dovetails a little bit into what I'm going to talk about. But I think if you've been on the board at least as long as I have or longer, Chris can chime in. The budget and or lack thereof, and in order to really do the things that Courtney and her team need to do is challenging based on the funding mechanisms that we have in place. And we've talked about it. I think we got into it really at the Omni Hotel at one point. We talked about the budget and how do we get more funding to this organization, and we never really came out of that. That was a couple of years ago, I think, with really a good dialogue of action steps to move forward. And I think I pointed it out at that meeting, and I'll point it out again. Her budget for the whole destination of Charlottesville and Albemarle is smaller than mine is at Boar's Head Resort for one property. So in order to do the things and win the awards like we did, the last couple of years, those monies that we got from ARPA were immensely important in order to be able to drive some of the advertising, some of the engagement, bringing people to our destination to see these things, that these amazing food and beverages, the arts, recreation scenes, all those things were driven by, ultimately by Courtney having the money to be able to do some of those things and bring people here and spend ads. And so we're getting ready to roll out, obviously, the SIR and the Tourism Master Plan, and I think this is a really good time for us as an organization to think, to go back to those discussions we had about the budget and how do we fund this master plan that's going to come out and say we're going to need to do X, Y, Z in order to really push this organization and push our destination forward. It's not possible on the current mechanism that we have for funding this organization. It just won't. I can't imagine that it's going to marry up and say that, yeah, you're going to have enough money to do all these things that your destination needs to continue to grow, right? At the same level or above some of our competitor, right, markets in Virginia, North Carolina, and so on and so forth. So I currently chair the Virginia Restaurant, Lodging, and Tourism Association, so the statewide tourism association, and have been able to be a part of some of the things that organization has been working on, and one of them is a tourism improvement district. We just rolled one out in Richmond not too long ago, and a tourism improvement district, or you'll hear it called TID. Does anybody? There was a couple of years ago, actually, Courtney was on a webinar with Civitas, right, and the CACVB. Did anybody partake in that or see that webinar on the board? No. Okay. So a TID is really, it's a mechanism for funding tourism promotion and destination development type of activities. I'm just reading this, but really funds are raised through an assessment. It's not a tax. I want to be very clear on that. And it's only on lodging stays. So it's only through the hotels that are collecting this on behalf of this TID, on behalf of this tourism improvement district. Really, the mission of the TID is to promote and improve tourism in the designated areas, right? And so for us, we would really look at it as the city and the county, and we would be really using those funds that are assessed and brought in through the hotels in those different areas to really help fund additional marketing. You can also use it for non-marketing purposes. Richmond is anticipating bringing in or almost doubling their destination marketing organization's budget. I think it was about $8 million a year. They're expecting it to add another $8 million to their organization. And ours would obviously be much, much smaller because we're not Richmond. Don't have that many hotels, as many hotels. But I'm not going to be able to explain all of this today with the time that we have allocated. But I really wanted to start this discussion. And then as a next step, I would like to propose that we have, says emergency board meeting, because I think that's what it's actually classified, has to be classified as. But I would really like to bring this group together for an hour meeting plus lunch, or by lunch, and have the people from Civitas. This is a national organization that has helped other destination marketing organizations like ours, many CVBs around the country. They just helped Richmond pass this. They help in many, many cities and states around the U.S. I'd like to bring them in to have them explain it more and the process for which we would have to go through if this is something that our board would like to do. This is not for a vote or anything today, but I really wanted to kind of highlight it as an opportunity for helping fund what we might hear we need as we move forward. The only other way to fund our needs would be a much more challenging avenue, and that would be to go to the city and the county and say, we need more money out of our TOT and meals taxes and other ways that you're collecting off of our organizations. And I think we all would realize that's probably not the easiest path forward to get in additional funding. And or maybe one we don't even want to go down, right? So that's just kind of the high level. If you have any questions, I can answer a couple right now, but I do want to go ahead and also leave time to move on for SIR. I think as far as a date for the emergency meeting, we were looking at March 7th. I think it's March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
As a date that the consultant with Civitas would be able to present to our board. I don't know how that works for people's calendars. We can also send it out later on and get a pulse as well.
Russ, is there something driving the timing?
Of trying to look at rolling this out? Well, I think...
there's a budget. Like, there's a budget along with us.
Oh, yeah. So we have to pay Civitas to help us to be our consultant to bring... If this is something we decided we wanted to do, right, as an organization... We could try and navigate those waters and all the legalese and all the different things that come along with it ourselves, but very unlikely that that would happen. Civitas does this, and they have a fee associated with it. And so it would be a budget thing that we would have to vote on. But no, I think the driving factor is really ultimately the timing of this master plan that we're putting together and being able to carry out what we've heard in some of the peer groups say that we need to do to further our industry. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it, and I'm definitely in support of it. I recall when I first got on the board about 2 years ago, and we compare ourselves to Asheville a lot. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, their size of office is about 3 or 4 size, the size of ours, but we were able to do a lot, particularly reaching out to communities of color over the last couple of years because of the additional resources
that
we have. I'll be in support of this, but that meeting's next week. That's right. That's the 7th, right? And that's kind of tight for me.
It is.
We have a little more.
So anyway, but I'm supportive.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to learning more about it. I do understand that it's new and complicated, and we probably do need some help. I don't know enough to know that this board has to be supportive or if this can happen outside of this board. I think it can happen in both ways. Advocating for one or the other.
Yes. Ultimately, the reason why this would need to be involved is in 98% of these districts that are drawn up, the fiscal agent and the person ended up carrying out the execution of the marketing and the spend is done through that destination's marketing organization, which would be the CVB, the CACVB. Now you can do it. There's the 2% have set up other operating companies to do it, right? And they almost hire a different staff, and so then there's sometimes competing.
Right.
Marketing and strategies and things, but ultimately it's funded through the hotels. And one of the big hurdles would be to actually, we could all say it's the best thing, let's do this thing, but we would have to get 50% of our hotels to actually the owners and or their management companies to approve to do the thing as well, because they're voluntarily putting this TID assessment on all of their guest bills, right? So there's a lot to it, as you said, for sure.
And folks should probably understand, I probably should have said this during the budget discussion, but the budget is funded through a formula that is not the entire TOT.
Right.
Most of folks don't, for the new folks, it's 30% of the first 5% of the TOT. So when you get your bill and it says 8%, the first 5% of that, 30% of that is going to fund this organization. The rest is going to the city and county general funds, i.e. support various other activities. Some are related to tourism, some might not. But that delta is going to the general funds. So essentially, there's two ways. You can do a TID or you can do an additional amount, increase the 30% to 50%. Or in Asheville's case, it's 100%.
That's right.
TOT goes to fund there. Right? So there's ways to do it. We should probably figure out what's the most efficient. We would need to learn some more.
And the TID, that assessment, 100% of that would go for the benefit of the hotels and for the CACDB, right?
Yes.
Okay. It would not go to the county or the city?
No.
Well,
I mean, the county's a fiscal agent from Europe, so in essence, it well, would.
But I mean, it would be a direct pass-through. Hopefully.
I imagine it would be established as a separate fund.
It has to be, yeah. Now, they could take admin charges off of having to be the fiscal agent, I mean, for those funds, but, right.
And it would ultimately be the hotels opting in, 50% of the hotels opting in to do this, to have some kind of an assessment that would benefit them and
that's right.
CACBB.
And there's a board established with the TID that would be hoteliers.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a nonprofit that's established. So there has to be a nonprofit stood up, and then the hoteliers would sit on the board of the nonprofit.
That's right. So to Chris's point, just from a numbers perspective, the county and city took in through the TOTs $14 million in fiscal 23, and of that we will be receiving the $2.77 million.
So of the 8%, it's 18% of that. So instead of saying 30% of the first 5%, which is super easy to understand, we went ahead and did the full math, and it's 18% from the city and the county collection of lodging tax.
So we would have to set up a total like separate nonprofit entity. They would have like control over those funds, and they would be like voluntarily giving those funds
to the D, they'd be directing them through the CACBB.
And that board would be made up of all the hotel.
The hotel partners, yeah, because they're the ones voluntarily putting it on their bills.
But they could at any point in time just decide they're going to use that fund for something else?
No, it's directed, it's clearly in the, and how the legal would be set up that says it has to be used for X, Y, Z. So in Richmond's case, they set theirs up solely for marketing purposes. So they are using it to incent groups like, I guess they're bringing in the A-10 basketball championships. And in order to do that and get them to the new Henrico Center, they had to pay the A-10 a $250,000 fee. And that $250,000 fee is coming out of this TID. It's funded strictly by that TID, which in turn is going to bring a lot of people into Richmond, and they felt like, oh, the return on the 250 is going to be exponential for the exposure on ESPN and just all the different things. So they're using it just for marketing and incentives. Other destinations have used it for physical improvements, right? Whether they wanted to add and help partially fund a convention center or another physical improvement, sports fields or a sports complex or whatever, right? There's different ways that you can use that, and how we would write ours would be based on what everybody would want.
I mean, the hotel like owners themselves, they're in charge of the nonprofit. Can't they like readjust how they want to spend the funds, like what keeps them like solidified and saying, hey, once all this gets set up, we're going to use this money always for like the needs of CACBB.
Well, that's a good question. That'd probably be one that we would want to ask the Civitas rep, right? Since she's done this a lot more. Because I don't know that I have that.
Russ, are they charging for this presentation next Thursday?
No.
Okay.
If we don't want to do the presentation, we're setting it up as a board meeting. But if we don't want to set it up as a board meeting, we could set it up as an online presentation, and then we just can't engage with them as the board. So we have to follow public meeting standards, and so we could set it up in a different way. You would just have to ask your questions privately to Tiffany, as opposed to having an open board discussion. And it doesn't have to be next week. That's what timing worked internally, but it seemed presumptuous to put it on your calendars if we didn't decide that we wanted to go that route. So we have a few different options of ways we could tackle it if we didn't want to have a special board meeting.
Could we have it as part of a future board agenda, regular meeting, not emergency?
Yeah, I think where my concern was is that I want to make sure that the board wanted to go in this direction if we were going to spend $75,000 on it next fiscal year. And we don't currently have $75,000 budgeted to spend on this project. So I don't know if we want to budget for it and then make the decision later, knowing that anything that goes unspent goes back into advertising and promotion. But I was a little concerned about the budgeting process and getting the budget passed in April. That was my primary concern on the timing. And then also we'll have the delivery of the master plan, kind of the longer term. But.
And it's, from a timeline standpoint, that's also important for you to know, is it's, from everybody I've heard, it's a 10 to 12 month time from when we say, yeah, let's do this, let's engage with Civitas, let's start to get the process rolling, to when it's actually approved, all of everything's done, and we start to collect those funds. So it would take a little bit of time. It's not just something you can spin up in a couple of months and be ready to start collecting.
I would suggest that we use our fund balance maybe for something like this if we choose to do it.
Fund balance has to be used for marketing, so I don't know that this can be used, like if this is an appropriate use of fund balance, but we could have it set aside, and the default is marketing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anything that we move out of the marketing arena would go back into marketing.
I guess my personal thing, I'm reluctant to say let's put 75 in the budget. We haven't heard the basic presentation. That's a little presumptive to me.
Right, which is why we were going to talk about it in April when we would present the budget. So if we had a meeting in March, then we'd have a conversation in March, and then we would know by the April meeting,
we could
possibly.
We could have a presentation. We could have a presentation at any meeting, regular or special, and then direct money from the marketing budget to cover this.
I'd like to ask how many people would be available March 7th. It would be from 11 to what?
11 to 1.
11 to 1.
But
11
to 1?
Yeah.
11 to noon.
11
would
to
be
noon
sufficient.
The actual freezing.
Oh,
the
11 to noon. So 1 hour. And then after that would be lunch. So you could come or not, you know. There. But 11 to 12, March 7th, next. What? A week?
Week on Thursday.
Yeah.
Is there a Zoom option? Is in person?
Our operating agreement says that we have to meet in person.
So how many people would, let's find out who's available. Raise your hand. Okay, it looks like the majority would be available. And maybe the ones who aren't, is there a possibility?
Possible. I can find out.
Okay.
Does there need to be a quorum for this?
I don't think so, because we wouldn't have to have any action made.
Yeah,
there'd
no
be
action.
No action items.
Just information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it be at the offices, the new offices, or?
No, I was thinking of hosting it over at Borstad, either at the foundation building or at the resort.
Okay. So if the majority of us or all of us could make it between 11 and 12 next Thursday at Boar's Head, that would be great. And then anyone who can stay afterwards for lunch, added bonus. Thank you, Russ.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And I'll say on Emily's point that we definitely could reallocate $75,000 from the advertising budget, but we would want to be mindful of where in the fiscal year we're doing that, because we're trying to spend as much of it up front as possible, because it's really hard to move the money through. So we wouldn't have that money necessarily available towards the end of the fiscal year, for instance. Okay.
And it should be noted, the TID would pay back that $75,000.
Over time.
Over time.
It's not a use it, it's gone. It would actually, as soon as the money starts coming in, it would pay back that that money directly.
Could we amend our calendar that we just adopted to add this meeting to the calendar so it's not an emergency meeting?
I don't know.
Why does it matter to you if it's an emergency meeting?
An emergency meeting makes everyone wonder what's going on.
I
but a regular meeting sounds
appropriately routine. Can we do that?
Extra special meeting.
Extra special meeting.
special meeting?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I have one question.
Yes.
How is the district defined?
What do you mean?
Is it like in Richmond, is it some limits there?
It is, so they have, there's a split into seven different,
what?
I guess they have seven different counties or something. So they set up individual districts that make up the greater Richmond district. Yep.
Yeah.
We could choose to do this if we wanted to just say there's just a city district.
Does it have enough?
And we don't want to touch the county, or there's just a county district, and it would only be those hotels participating, but it would only the funds can only go to those participating. And so for us to get the most bang for our buck here, it would be to do the city and the county together.
Okay, we're checking on what we have to do to
publicly notify about the meeting.
So we'll have to redo this.
And Russ, they would engage the hotels, or would that be our responsibility?
Civitas would help guide those discussions, and whoever would want to be there on our behalf would be there. You know, I would obviously be a big proponent of helping them. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. They do.
They help us. Yep. Okay. For sure.
Do you have a sense, being in the business, is this a winner?
I've behind closed doors have talked to a couple folks, and I think that generally they would be supportive.
Any other questions?
You said this, and I think it's probably straightforward, but it basically would just get added to every transaction like a transient occupancy. That's a TOT, right? So it's just a separate line item on the bill.
That's right.
That is specifically for the Tourism Improvement District.
Yep.
As though it were an additional tax.
We don't like to use additional tax.
assessment
yes.
On the bill.
That is right. You probably have, if you've traveled to Boston or major metropolitan cities, you've seen it, you just might not have noticed it. That where they called it something differently on your hotel bill. You've probably all paid
right. I think of this like your Xfinity bill. You'll never figure it out.
I have a question.
Yes.
Has the percentage that we've gotten from the city and county ever been increased? If it has, what's the last time?
That's
never, ever been.
No. But the transient occupancy tax has been increased.
Yes.
There's been growth, but the percentage has
changed. But at the county, we increased our TOT last year.
Have we ever asked for more money?
Okay. All right.
Not officially.
we're like walking around the circle and figuring out ways to get more money, but we never asked.
Yeah, that's...
think it's great that Russ brought it up before she brings up affordability as the biggest problem.
Okay. So what we'll do is that'll end.
Yeah, so we'll send we can send out a note, a follow-up after.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can either call it a special meeting if that assages concern, or we can re-vote on our regular meeting dates and include it right now.
Right. Can we do that now, or
yes.
Are we waiting?
No, we're good.
Okay. All right, so...
Nobody else has
cool.
a strong opinion. I think I'd rather it be regular meeting.
Right.
Yes, but the only thing I want to point out is that you spent a lot of time in this resolution pointing out the language that we have these meetings on every other month, and then we're popping a weird meeting at a time that doesn't suit all the time we just spent on that language. So
yeah, the December meeting doesn't meet our timing, so I think it's okay.
Can we just have an amendment to include? With our meeting date, 7 March at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. So,
we have a motion to amend.
I'd like to have a motion to amend that we would add for the meeting dates and times, March 7th at 11 o'clock. March 7th, 2024 at 11 o'clock.
So moved.
Do you have a second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Or do we need a roll call?
No, we're good. We're good. I just asked.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so move. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
As a reminder, I'm not presenting the director's report. If you have any questions about it, see me after, send me a note, give me a call. But in the sake of time, I'm going to have Rachel start talking about the tourism master planning process. So go ahead.
Take it away, Rachel.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, it's good to be with you all again. I'm also joined by Becky Chipman on our team, sorry, who's been helping with this process as well. Some of you may have talked with her during some of our qualitative meetings. We're going to try to move through this quickly. We've built in a lot of discussion around some of this, so we'll see what we're able to work through with our remaining hour. But we did really want to focus today on spend today really focusing on the stakeholder engagement that we did. So the last board meeting is shared the visitor survey data where we surveyed past visitors and prospective visitors. And so then we moved into a phase where we really focused on talking with industry stakeholders because we really want this to be a plan that the industry supports and is behind and has their input. So we've given an opportunity for the entire industry to participate in this plan. So we're just going to move straight into our findings. We did a handful of qualitative interviews, and then we did a survey as well. So Becky conducted the interview, so I'll let her share what she learned from those. Thank you. So again, over the past couple of months, we've conducted 14 interviews. Most were about 30 to 60 minutes, most average about 45 minutes. And these are the different industries. This is not an exclusive list, but we talked to some wineries, historical sites, some of the local outdoors and nonprofits, the restaurant industry, the lodging industry, municipalities. Obviously, we also met with UVA. So again, as Rachel mentioned, we really wanted to hear from as many people as possible, hear their own thoughts. Some kind of key takeaways that we'll touch on. Number one, you know, most everyone acknowledges the assets of the region, being the natural beauty, the wineries, history, and UVA as all the greatest assets. That being said, many also share concerns about the downtown mall continuing to combat the negative reputation from August 2017, the lack of affordability, and then a continued expression of concern about the lack of strong government leadership as some of the greatest challenges. Opportunities for growth, many echoed, again, midweek business, coordinated marketing and storytelling, more packages and promotions, and then more opportunities to work with UVA as well.
The greatest threats, again, the lack of affordability, the lack of strong coordinated marketing, and changes in travel, really thinking about kind of post-COVID, how travel habits have changed, as well as thinking about current economy and challenges with inflation and things like that. In terms of vision for the future, many expressed this desire for a focus on diversity and inclusivity, vibrancy, affordability, and then again acknowledging that the region is a known wine region. Top priorities, and you'll see some of these kind of overlap, but top priorities include, again, having that really cohesive, strong marketing campaign, that focus on midweek business, again, tackling Charlottesville's reputation and the downtown mall. And in terms of thinking about how these different stakeholders interact with the CACVB and with the region, many really reflected this idea that they believe they're a part of this collective effort and they want to continue to work together and collaborate more. We also asked them about the wine and winning the Wine Enthusiast Wine Region of the Year. And many said yes, they think it should be a top priority, but again, they did echo some concerns about focusing on wine as the primary board. So when asked, you know, what are the first three words that come to mind when you think of the region? Natural beauty, wine, history, we also mentioned UVA. However, some did reiterate the expensive, exclusive, elite state of tourism in the region, extent to which, you know, that is a perception versus reality, but they did express that. Overall, most folks said that they believe the region is stable and it's healthy, but at the same time, they did acknowledge that it is fragile. They acknowledge it's in a growth stage. They do see limitations due to hotels and lodging, lack of infrastructure to scale up, specifically a lot of mention of the airport and transportation. Again, that cost sensitivity because of supply as well as the current economy. And then some did acknowledge, however, that the historic sites in particular are really in a depressed phase. Again, thinking about the strengths of the region, you know, again, many acknowledge the beauty, the landscape, the wineries, history and historical sites, UVA, many said it's family friendly, vibrant, unique, something for everyone. Weaknesses were often mentioned were the downtown mall, again, challenges in politics and government, combating reputation, especially post-August 2017, lack of affordability, lack of transportation, and no convention center. When we think about greatest opportunities, again, there was a lot of conversation about the marketing and the storytelling, just having that more coordinated effort across the region. Again, more collaboration, more packages across industries. Again, many see UVA as an opportunity to continue that partnership. Again, that opportunity for corporate travel, midweek business, group travel. And again, you'll see the desire for more flights and stronger transportation. Threats, again, there was a concern expressed about the lack of promotion and a lack of coordinated promotion. You know, many people said outside of Virginia, a lot of people still don't know about Charlottesville. Affordability, again, was a major threat, again, thinking about inflation, the economy at large, as well as politics. And then travel, you know, we mentioned this earlier, some people are traveling less because of COVID, airlines are pulling back flights. And then continued concern about competition in DC, Virginia Beach, et cetera. When asked their desire, what they hope would describe the Charlottesville-Albemarle region in 2040, most opinions reflected kind of these four categories, number one being diverse, inclusive, friendly, welcoming. Secondly, really thinking about being a vibrant arts and culture destination, dynamic, eclectic, authentic. Thirdly, again, thinking about that affordability, something for everyone. And then last, and these aren't in any particular order, but last, just thinking about really acknowledging it as a known wine region. In terms of focus for growth in the next 5 years, again, you'll see echoed this desire for more midweek business, corporate tourism, more packages and partnerships. Again, a stronger, cohesive marketing campaign. There was a lot of folks also expressed a desire to work more with the CACVB, really asking for help, not knowing what to do with marketing. You know, a lot of, especially some of these smaller organizations, they don't have their own marketing team, and so they want to look more and more to the CACVB to work together. Many also expressed more airline transportation, bigger airport, enhanced transportation, and then again, a lot of focus on the downtown mall as well. In terms of things they might change, again, many expressed a desire for the Charlottesville Albemarle region to be known as a collective. You know, some even were so as emphatic to say, stop calling it CACVB, we are Seaville, you know, really embracing the region as a collective identity versus, you know, being very delineated. Also a lot of focus on being more and more welcome and gracious towards the visitor. You know, some expressed how, you know, some different industries or some different sectors or pockets or things like that are not necessarily embracing the visitor. Again, that kind of idea tied back to the beginning of, you know, this perception of exclusivity or elite versus actually being really welcoming and gracious. When asked about the top priority in the next 5 years, again, that idea about that coordinated, clear vision and strong marketing, midweek business, again, that combating that negative reputation from August 2017, and then, again, a lot of emphasis on the downtown mall as a top priority. When asked, again, this idea of how do you see your organization, your role, engaging with tourism in the region, again, most express this idea that they believe they're a part of this collective effort. They want to collaborate more. They want to partner together. Again, this was echoed throughout the interviews, thinking about how to work together, how to partner together more to really, you know, help the whole region. When asked about, you know, folks' opinion on the Wine Enthusiast Magazine's Wine Region of the Year, most were really positive and really receptive. Again, many agreed that it should be a top priority, that we should be leaning into it, we should be, you know, putting together packages and promoting it, all of these things. However, some did express concerns about, you know, is it inclusive enough? Could it have unintended consequences? So again, kind of that caveat there of, you know, to what extent should be leaning in as the primary lure. That was a quick overview. I know I talked fast. I know we're getting close for time, but does anyone have any questions about the qualitative kind of overview?
I think you mentioned this at the front. These are all local interviews on the phone? Or?
All via Teams. Yep, all via Teams. So we had 14 interviews with different stakeholders, again, different industries, some wine regions, some of the restaurants, some of the hotels, just a kind of a cross sector.
I think it wasn't hotels.
Pardon?
Did we have hoteliers?
We had someone who does like Airbnb lodging. I forget off the top of my head. So not hotels specifically, but lodging.
Yeah. Because we had the focus group with the hoteliers in December, so we tried to get a nice cross section of the rest of the tourism economy. And people who weren't on our board, but who are leaders in the region.
Do you have what are the demographics of the people that you pulled?
So Rachel's going to get into the quantitative survey. This was just stakeholder interviews. I don't know the demographics off the top of my head, but it was 14 individuals from different industries that we met with.
But you said she'll have that.
So we also did a quantitative survey of industry stakeholders. So that's much more. Going to be much more representative because it's a larger, you know, we only interviewed 14 folks for this, whereas I think the survey went out to all industry stakeholders, so I think it went out to a list of
like 1,000.
1,000 people, and so that'll be in the quantitative that Rachel will present. That's a good question. Any other questions before I kind of hand it over to Rachel?
I did want to ask whether or not, can we receive a copy of this, of the presentation? Okay. Mail. A link provided to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and I just will say also, it's worrisome when you say like during the week, because I know a lot of restaurants have closed like for lunch. They're only open for dinner now because of the pandemic and such.
And this did come up. Yeah.
Yeah, and they found that actually they're doing quite well and don't need to open up for lunch. So that's another problem.
all these things that we have to wrestle and tackle with this. So, yeah, moving into the qualitative. So this is, as Becky said, we were given a list from Courtney and her team of 1,000 industry stakeholders who were invited to participate in the survey. It was emailed. It was made in announcements at events to encourage participation. We had 76 respondents who participated across a number of different industry categories. So here we see the count of folks by different industry. Other here is listed on the right, as there were a number of different folks in kind of the other category. And then hoteliers, we had a larger representation here of hoteliers, arts and culture, small business, attractions, history sites, or historic sites and museums, winery, government employee, restaurant, food truck, outdoor rec, kind of on down. So a pretty good mix of folks participated in the survey. And then just jumping into our findings here, first we asked very similar questions as in the qual, just trying to get a little bit more quantitative evidence. And here we started asking some broad questions to get their general perception of the tourism industry. We asked the first three words that come to mind, and similar to the qual, wine, history, outdoors, UVA, potential, growing, beautiful, underfunded was interesting. And then we asked them, you know, to what degree do you see tourism in the region growing or decreasing? And we see that about half are saying that it's growing. Not a really strong 5 rating there, but we are seeing a lot of folks seeing it decrease. So it's either kind of static or growing slightly. And some of the follow-ups on why they gave their ratings, it was, you know, mostly related to COVID and some of the recovery that's happening there. We asked them, what are the greatest strengths of the region? And this is looking at our top 2 box ratings on a 1 to 5 scale. And we see that natural beauty, wineries, history, dining options, craft beverages, and outdoor top the list. So it's a good, strong mix of experiences here. We did want to call out affordability was at the bottom here, and it had over half of respondents giving it a bottom 2 box rating, so a 1 and a 2, as a big weakness for the region. So that was a really strong score there, so we wanted to make note of that, as that's been a theme that continues to come up both in the qualitative and also the visitor research as well. When we look at what do we want to develop and what is the product and what do we want to prioritize for the future, we asked an open-ended question: what about the tourism industry would you like to see developed in the region over the next 5 years? And we saw a number of comments around infrastructure and accessibility and also economic and cultural development. So the infrastructure and accessibility ranged from parking and public transit to walkability. You know, as we heard too in the qual, related to the airport, the economic and cultural development, having a little bit more cohesiveness and support between the county and the city for businesses, more supportive local small businesses, which is a theme that started to emerge with the quantitative survey, was that small business support, and then outdoor recreation infrastructure investments. We asked them, thinking about the next 5 years, to what degree are each of the following areas of tourism a priority for you in the region? And this is the top 2 box for being a big priority. And we see outdoor recreation, festivals and public events, and arts, music, and culture kind of topping the list there, followed by transportation needs, restaurants, history, and heritage. And then we had follow-up questions for a number of those that were selected. So if they selected outdoor recreation, we said specifically, what do you think could use investment related to outdoor recreation? And here we see the upkeep and renovation of existing outdoor recreation areas and trail infrastructure connectivity and expansion topping the list there. The follow-up for hosting conferences or business meetings, we see enhancing the experience for attendees when exploring during non-meeting event hours, which kind of comes back to the restaurant closures and that challenge, and then building a new event conference centers of greater size to the current inventory, or renovating existing events and conference centers. The follow-up related to the wine industry was really around increasing transportation infrastructure to accommodate wine tourism and wine tasting events and festivals. We asked them how important are each of the following considerations when developing the tourism industry. We see making the experience hassle-free for guests and creating a welcoming environment. Really, a lot of these are important, though. These are pretty strong readings across the board, especially those five readings being so strong. And again, consistent with some of the themes we heard in the call around creating partnerships. We also see small business and entrepreneurship support there. I do think it's interesting, the hassle-free and a welcoming environment are also priorities when it comes to the visitor expectation. So that's aligned with what visitors want as well. And we said, to what degree do you consider each of the following a priority over the next 5 years? And here you see the top, providing support to existing businesses and marketing and advertising. As those top two, and then followed by attracting festivals and public events, telling the unique and diverse stories of Charlottesville. So again, kind of consistent themes to the qual there. And then we concluded with some questions around wine tourism. We wanted to see, are they aware, how much do they agree that Charlottesville is the world's top wine region, and 17% said that they agree with that, with actually some pretty strong ones and twos, so it's hard for folks to really understand that. We also asked, were they aware of that y'all won the award, and 66% said that yes, they were aware. 30% said they didn't even know that y'all were nominated for the award, which I thought was really surprising. I think it kind of just underscores there's no such thing as over-communication and touting that story, along with all the other great work that the CACBC is doing. And we asked them, do you agree or disagree that Charlottesville should prioritize wine, the wine industry as a primary focus? We see a little over half giving that top two box. So again, there's a lot of support for the wine industry, but to kind of Becky's point, it seems to continue the theme here of maybe it shouldn't be the only or number one focus for the region. And then our final question was around what would they like to see more of or less of? And we see they want more support for small businesses and more support for cultural festivals, getting all businesses involved, and advocacy and funding for high level, including arts activities and performances. They like to see less of focus on wineries, less focus on things for rich white people, which I think goes back to the elite kind of feeling that some people have about the industry. Maybe less of a focus on large institutions, so going back to that, they want more support for small businesses, and really how can we get that balance of wine and other experiences. So with that, happy to answer any questions about the quant. It was a pretty brief survey, trying to just get some general reactions.
I have a quick question. It's keying off of what Jay said. Do you guys have on both the smaller list and this larger list what the actual demographic of responders was?
We have their generation. I'm not sure that we asked race. I have to go back and double check that, but I don't think that we asked that.
I think it would be kind of important to know, right? Because I think looking at some of this as trying to understand what people are calling for and asking for, and then like especially thinking about like the tinge of ideas of like diversity and inclusion mm-hmm. looks like, and it seems even with like the recent advertisements that have been coming out mm-hmm. about like winning this award, a lot of it's centered towards like this right idea of inclusivity that mm-hmm. like I wonder how many people feel included in those spaces or feel like they want to be there. So like I know I don't necessarily feel comfortable often going to like wineries and like mm-hmm. historical places. I don't really like, mm-hmm. I know about racism, so like I'm not really trying to go see like Jefferson and those places often, yeah. right? But if your pool of people are not from there, then it's hard to tell like how you actually bring in those people of diverse backgrounds because they might be interested in something different.
Mm-hmm. We did have, for those of you who are new, for the visitors that we surveyed, we did have the, we asked the question about race, so we have an idea of who responded from the visitor perspective. I know who we asked for the interviews for the qualitative. I just need to like notate down. It was predominantly white, but it wasn't exclusively white. I'm trying to think of, anyway, I don't want to do this exercise out loud because then I'm betraying trust, right? But for this, I don't know. I mean, I know that this was going out to essentially the all of our contacts that we have through the CACVB, and then we were sending it out individually. Like, I made sure that the Discover Black Seville steering committee got that list. I got the whole, you know, we were intentional about who we invited, but we don't know who responded. So
were these all Charlottesville and Almora?
Yes.
Do you know
the region.
Do you know what the split is between city and county?
No.
We could do some manual work on the back. No, because y'all sent out the link. Yeah, we have no way of knowing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Just quickly, anecdotally, 6 of the 14 interviews were people of color.
I mean, I will say that just in of itself, if we're known as a wine region or even historical region, that's not inexpensive. I mean, any wine region anywhere in any state, that's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
The food, the wine. So
I mean,
how you have less expensive, you know, for that area, I don't know. Historically, you're going to have to pay to go visit some of these things. Maybe that's an impediment. I don't know.
Affordability is not along race lines either necessarily,
no,
right?
No.
So
no, not at all.
We need to think. But as far as like our actual wine is concerned, it's not as expensive as let's say Napa or Sonoma.
No,
or
no, it's a lot less expensive than some other areas. Like you said, Napa. I mean, the wines here are very, frankly, very affordable. But if people think that if that's an impediment. You know, how do we overcome that? And then what are other things that if people want the wine, if they want the history, then what do we do to bring in people who necessarily do not want to go to wineries or historical places?
And we can unpack that a little bit more as we move through our next section, which is a number of different discussion topics. But are there any other questions about the research data?
So we're going to dig into some of these a little bit
yeah.
more?
Okay,
good.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the prior?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So for the master plan, one of the key elements is doing a SWOT analysis. So for those who maybe aren't or less familiar with SWOT, that's really looking at your internal strengths and weaknesses and your external opportunities and threats. And we went through a process with you all, or with the board. Some of you might have been a part of that conversation. Many of you probably were not back in January of 2020. So just prior to COVID, we had completed the visitor survey, and we had a board meeting, and the industry was invited, and we had a little bit of a retreat, if you will, a workshop, and we went through a SWOT exercise there, where we identified each of these things, and then we also have, you know, what we learned from this research, and so we just wanted to spend some time with you. This is both of those. It might be a little bit hard to see.
Yeah.
But just kind of wanting to see, you know, where are we now with these strengths and weaknesses. So just would love to spend a couple minutes on each one of these to see if there are things that are missing or definitely are no longer a strength or a weakness or an opportunity or a threat. So we can start with the strengths.
This year we have beautiful landscapes and mountains, wineries, history and historic sites, UVA, family-friendly, vibrant, unique, something for everyone. In 2020, we saw the arts community, the things to do, proximity to DC, UVA, educated, variety, diverse experience, new director, Courtney, the accessibility by train, bus or drive, history, food and beverage, natural beauty, weddings, nature, town and country experiences, and accessibility. Does this feel right? Is there anything that's specifically missing? Or would you say it's not really a strength anymore?
I think they also are increasing the number of trains through Charlottesville. Amtrak has increased it, and they've added another evening train from D.C., and there are plans to add a train to Richmond. So Amtrak is increasing. Yeah, I think Charlottesville has like the third highest Amtrak passenger station in the state.
I don't know that.
I think our food scene is growing. Still don't think it's amazing yet, but I think we have a lot to offer that we didn't have 10 years ago even. And I'm still of the thought that we still do have a music scene, even though there aren't as many small bars and such, but obviously our big venues bring in great things that people travel to. Besides JPJ, I think people travel to the Paramount, Jefferson, and such. So I think those are still strengths that people from the 90s and early 2000s still see us. Even though Roanoke has pegged themselves as music city of Virginia, I think we really have that more.
Having been
to
a lot of concerts here, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now for the strengths for this year, I would say that the arts things like the theater and the coffee and places like that.
But this points are kind of counter to the downtown mall being the top weakness.
Downtown mall being what?
The top weakness.
Yeah, right.
That's really a problem. That was an asset, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
It's really changed a lot.
I agree with Danny. I think the downtown mall is an absolute gem, and that's something, however we can help that to be what it once was. I mean, everybody loves the downtown mall. How do we change that?
I think the affordability issues really hurt the art community in general, and that's why you're not saying as robust as it was.
What I'm hearing also with the downtown mall is a safety issue. So that's something that needs to be addressed. I mean, that's what I hear. It's like people are saying it's not safe to go down there. Well,
I heard that a lot in the qualitative interviews, and we were discussing this later, and you know, it's a good maybe option for education. Because again, you know, how much of that is perception? How many folks are actually going downtown and seeing, oh, this is great, I want to come down here, versus like, what are they hearing? What is the one negative story that one person told one time that now they're like, oh, you know, so.
When there's a greater percentage of vacant storefronts, it's going to lead to all kinds of problems, including it's less vibrant. So you're asking for strengths differences from 2020?
Well, no, this is 2020, 2024. Are these right? Are we missing anything?
It seems like there's more hotel space now than there was in 2020. And the Forum and the Cecil's new hotel.
I'll bite you on a brunch.
All right, well, what about some of the weaknesses? So, again, here, the mention of the downtown mall, politics and government, the August 7th, 2017 event, not affordable, lack of transportation, no convention center, In 2020, we also heard lack of diversity, segregated city versus county communication, lack of communication politics, limited money for marketing, underfunded, seasonality, public perception of elite, and then references to the airport.
What is the due date for the convention?
You're trying to make a hotel and conference center? Okay, 25. But I wouldn't say that's a convention center. Mm-hmm. Because the ballroom there is 500 people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think convention center, I think of like JPJ, but with like a big auditorium and breakout space. And right. So,
but it might be the most convention center in the area.
Conference center.
Yeah.
It's strange though, because Charlottesville's the city limits is under 50,000 people, and like Asheville's 90. But we get compared to that a lot. I mean, you know, growing up here, leaving, coming back, I feel like it's still a small town vibe. But yet we have these big ideas, mm-hmm. and people think of us as this big thing. But I still feel like it's so small that they say we don't have a convention center. But I don't know. Do we really need one for our size, you know, but people want it.
I'll say what I said in our UVA stakeholders meeting. The high school has a bigger auditorium than any space in Charlottesville. High school.
Martin Luther King.
So like even at UVA for graduation, I have to set up gyms with folding chairs because we don't have a space that can fit 2,000 people. Yeah. I think if we had a big auditorium space that had breakout space that would fit multiple 500 person breakouts, I think you'd have more more professional organizations coming into town, like Virginia Educators hosting conferences mm-hmm. here, UVA professionals would have more of their associations coming here. I think we have enough space in the town for 500 people all around. Like Russ has space in the Omni everywhere, but if you want to have all these people come together and you don't want to pay the JPJ price tag, there's that idea for you.
Mm-hmm. And it helps with the midweek business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there an attempt to target the smaller associations?
Yeah, Teresa on our team is our group salesperson, and that's a lot of what she does. She goes to Virginia Society of Association Executives and
Society of Government Meeting Planners. We've actually, unfortunately, chosen the Virginia Association for that forum. They used to be at the Omni Board Head, and as people said, they need, the biggest thing I get is they need to the breakout space for them, but if they need a general room to feed 300, plus then 300 have to have breakout spaces to meet, but they have to have a lunch for all of them together. So while the board said can feed 300 in one room, it doesn't have the breakout space for them to have the actual meeting.
Yeah.
So we do, we're going to do small market meetings. We're trying to like come down, but I do know that we have a lot of interest because we are centrally located in the state. And that's kind of our biggest thing, is not having a general session or a meeting.
Or you would have to pay for less transport people.
Yeah.
From the Boar's Head to the Forum to the Virginia Guest House.
I should say that in my time on the board, which I was just reminded has been considerably long, going back to the 2005, there have been two separate convention center studies commissioned by this body, one of which is now stale, but it's 6-7 years ago. The other was further back. Both of those, and the one prior to that, there's been three that I'm aware of that I can put hard copies hands on. All said, this is a rock star location for a convention center. You guys should do it. You should do it right now. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, the last one was conducted in 2018.
Right.
It was completed just before UVA made the announcement about what ended up being the Virginia Guest House. So, I mean, when I was interviewing for this job, I was asked to envision the future of this destination following through on that convention center study. And then by the time I got here, it was kind of already on the table, or off the table, I guess.
Well, but to Susan's point, that's really not a true convention center.
No, it just stalled progress on that conversation.
So, looking at some of the weaknesses, and you know, from 2020 and now, so I know some of the things that we have been real intentional the last few years of the new council, particularly the politics in the city and the county. I know that for the last 2 years, the chair and vice chair and the mayor and vice mayor, we have been meeting publicly, being real intentional, meeting out Middlemarch so that the public can see the city and the county get together. Me and I get together this Friday. Brian and I are meeting with, you know, Jim and Diantha, so we do that on a regular basis. So we feel like we're addressing that. And affordability is just really tough, because in fact, all the weaknesses where we talk about people still dying to come here, well, you know, living to get yeah. here. And we found out that, you know, this region is the most expensive in the state to live. They make, it's more expensive in Northern Virginia, but they make more money there. And so we hope that with the zoning ordinance that we passed, you know, 1 week ago, I mean, went in effect 1 week ago, that would address the affordability issue. But that's going to be 5-10 years down the road, maybe. And, you know, we're having a meeting tomorrow on transportation to address, to kind of make it more expansive. So we, you know, I'm pretty sure we didn't have the study in front of us when we were doing it, but we know that we're trying to, you know, those issues, that's what the public is kind of telling us in our everyday life, and as far as when we govern and those type of things. And I'm meeting with the downtown law in a couple of weeks, so yeah, it's great. You know, I know that they have some concerns, but we know that that's in jail. The numbers are down, but you know, anytime after 7 or 8 o'clock, you can see the unhousing community setting up their shop in front of the doorstops, and so we know that urban living is kind of some of the things that you expect, but we understand that some of them can be too aggressive. What's the line for that, you know, that we do? Anyway, it's a issue that council is very aware of. We get a lot of comments from the public and the shop owners on the downtown mall. It's something we want to try to address, so this information is good for me.
Would you classify economic development as a weakness or an opportunity? Because I think of economic development, we in our tourism industry, especially in the hotels, I feel like when we heard it in the lodging meeting, we depend, like everybody feels like they depend on UVA to be the real driver behind why people are coming here and staying in our hotels, but we're not thinking about how do we get other businesses here that can then bring meetings or bring travel, like corporate travel, to this area, because it's not even really existent. Like corporate transient travel is not really a thing here. Yeah.
So right? At least, I mean, I'm going to chime in to that, because one of my old professors, Mr. Hooja, he posed this question, you know. I wasn't on the planning commission, but you know, many years ago, it's like envision that if somehow you could just pick up UVA, move it from Charlottesville, and put it in Culpeper, what would it look like? And I know that I wouldn't be here, my wife wouldn't be here, a lot of people in this room probably would not be here. So a lot is kind of, I mean, it's not a lot that, you know, it's a lot of little towns that could be Charlottesville, but what makes us different is UVA, and I think we just need kind of, we understand that there's some good and some bad with UVA, I personally would much rather have it here, but it's a lot we can do to make, you know, them a more friendly neighbor, and I think that over the last, in my opinion, the last 5 or 6 years, they've done more then than they have since I've been here, but they've been here a long time. Mm-hmm. Chris, you haven't been around. So that's the kind of way I personally look at it. I know that, you know, talking to particularly some of the communities that have been impacted, right, adjacent to UVA, some they have some concerns about it, but I think overall, I think I'm glad that it's here, but let's, have those conversations about what more can they do to kind of soften the impact to the community.
I mean, we love them. I just want to not have to depend my whole year on them, right? Like, so Boar said, when the new hotel opens up, throwing a dart on a dartboard, does that mean $2 million of my dollars that I typically have every year is now moving over there? Like, how do we backfill that? How does the rest of the industry, I'd like to not just be solely dependent on, feel like everything revolves around.
Did you see the story in the news that defense is like the second largest money maker here, like $1.5 billion?
Yeah, I've heard there's been some a big effort to think of our own kind of triangle, right? Research triangle in coordination with the defense industry.
That's what we're aiming for with Rivanna Futures.
Yeah.
Then that's why we bought the land around Rivanna Station, because it is the second largest economic engine in the county, or in the area, and it does bring in $1.2 billion, and we get about half of that. So this is going to be something that is a game changer. It's going to be over, 800 jobs that will be created, high-paying jobs. So that's a game changer for this whole area, and it. They make no noise. You don't know where they are. It's all cybersecurity, intelligence type stuff.
Should we consider that as an opportunity?
Yeah. It is an opportunity.
I mean, if it's the feds and they're going to pay the per diem, then they're going to go stay outside of Albemarle County. They're not going to stay in our hotels because
they won't get the per diem.
Oh.
Well, if they're coming to NJIC or DIA, where are they going? Rockersville?
Yeah.
That Holiday Inn on 29?
I mean, we know the sports teams don't necessarily stay in Charlottesville and Albemarle County when they come here and make that big, impact on our community, because we don't have the rates that allow for that.
Can't you lower your rates?
You give me more midweek business, I can. Everybody wants to come on 2 days out of the seven.
Yeah, so I mean, all of these things impact each other, right? Like, that's the trickiness of the industry here.
For the sake of time, I want to keep the conversation moving. What about our opportunities? Marketing, storytelling, coordinated effort, promoting packages, UVA, corporate travel, midweek business, group travel. So we've talked about some of that. Flights, similarly, inclusive stories, DMO playing a bigger role, the markets of DC and Virginia Beach, elderly accessibility, convention, airport, social media, family market, showcasing all things, influencers, group sales, volunteer tourism, rich African American history, history tours, wine center, conference center, walkability.
So I think that some of the opportunities would be to continue to focus on the community of color. I know a lot of the nonprofits that I'm with, that it's focused now to approach them for donations, and that had been lacking before, and then now it's a focus to do that. And I know that we have been doing that, so I think that should be continued. I just can't see it. It might be up there for 2024 for opportunities. We should continue to do it.
Yeah, and I wonder too if what the strength is, like the Black CEO, how successful that was.
I wonder if the arts and music that you were talking about before is more of an opportunity than a strength. Come for whatever draws you here, and then know that you'll be able to see cool murals, and there's good art installations going on, and then there's live music every night somewhere in town. But do people know that?
Right. Yeah. The big part. I mean, X Park has really grown a lot, right, in the last few years.
Well, it's just recently, right? It's like they're sizing down like crazily. They only have, what, 2 employees now, right?
Really?
Like 1.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, they've had some events there this past year, this summer and everything, that were just, I mean, the whole place was packed. And that's really nice, you know, to see that. But I think all these little things contribute to it. More and more people coming out and experiencing.
I feel like arts is like definitely like an opportunity, but I think with the arts, what happens a lot is like the funding and also like the type of exhibitions and shows that primarily happen in our area are very local, mm-hmm. and like people don't really travel out of town to see local artists, so we don't have a lot of love within the UVA, right? Who has larger sort of exhibitions, but still like exhibitions and shows within like the university kind of like plays is not the same as like an exhibition at like a gallery or a show. It doesn't hold the same type of like fever to it, I think. So I think, you know, one of the things that we've been looking at and thinking about a lot, at least at the Bridge, is just like trying to like expand more like bringing in more artists. So like when we have like our camps now, we bring in like artists from Texas or outside of the country or outside of the region to come into our space to be able to have exhibitions or to be able to have like engagements with people, because that's really what you'll draw people in for. If you have like a large Michelangelo Thomas or something like that come in,
right.
People are more likely to like travel very high to be able to see it.
What about also arts and music, you know, festivals? But what you're talking about is in the gallery and everything like that.
Yeah.
But what about arts and music, you know, more festivals like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think prior to Don coming, there was that, what's the photography?
Oh, yeah, Look 3.
Yeah,
Look 3, that was in town. Everyone, like, I think often brings up having that sort of situation again, but
that lost money itself, though. I mean, that was sponsored by National Geographic, and that maybe went 4 years. And I mean, the first year it was amazing seeing everyone from out of town, you know, doing workshops and taking photographs of the mall. But I remember Andrew Owen ran that, and then he said it just wasn't enough after a while.
It was really hard too, because it was 3 years on, 1 year off, 3 years on, the way that it went. That's why it's called Look 3 Festival. And it brought photographers from all over the world. Mm-hmm. It was the second largest photography festival in the world, actually. That was here in Charlottesville. I was a photographer as well. So the problem was that, you know, kind of like had a lot of people coming in looking for it, but I don't know how much money it came. I mean, all the hotels were booked during that time. I did transportation where I shuttled photographers that flew in for the festival to Charlottesville. They stayed in different areas and at Airbnbs and at practices and so forth. But I think if people got really tired of doing it, I think there was a couple of people that were really in charge of it that it was really tough trying to coordinate all of that. Everything was volunteer based too, so it was kind of hard.
Well, even the one that had a lot of money, the guy who did lock-in, you know, that's no more. And that was like the potential, and that went, that was like 4 or 5 years, right?
It's like 7.
Oh, really?
It always lost money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was about 40 minutes out of town.
Yeah.
What about the festival of the book and the film festival and the theater festival?
Like fireworks?
No, the Virginia Theater for the one. Mm-hmm. The Heritage. Which is now rebranded as the Virginia Theater Festival. And the film festival and...
The film and book are still very active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as well.
They're still very active.
Yeah. The theater festival exists too. We've sponsored it the past couple summers. It comes at a better time of the year for us to be able to support it. The film festival is usually, you know, October, early November, which is hot in the middle of the most demand for the whole year. So they never do it on the same weekend as a UVA football game, but Fall Foliage would be selling out the film festival. But we do get a lot of people here for the film festival.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
That's coming up in March. Yeah.
I mean, are those opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I think something that we come up against a lot in the festival space is that we're looking at weekend business, and weekend business is what's working for us. And so are we, for our organization to invest in festivals on the weekends, maybe just cannibalizing what we'd be getting from the lodging tax anyway on the weekend.
January, February.
Or midweek. I mean, this is why those things come up, is that spring and fall on the weekends, people are getting married. Like, possibility for the hotels is a lot more wider.
January festival.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing is John Paul Jones is a unique thing. The Richmond Coliseum isn't there anymore, and so we have big shows there. Maybe it is a matter of, like, trying to sell a story, a day of events or 2 days of events to people that are traveling from out of town to come to shows. With the Dan and Jay show at John Paul Jones on Friday. I'd imagine they have a lot of people traveling to those shows from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So, Courtney, I was going to say two things, but you reminded me that we want to get them to spend the night. I know we got two things coming up, and that's the all-access playground that's going to go into Penn Park, and that is something that no one in this entire region has, so we know we probably will be drawing some people for that, but I don't know if they're going to stay and spend the night in Botanical Garden.
Mm-hmm.
This area is really growing with senior citizens, and I don't know the numbers and studies of them, of their traveling. I know they have more income and more time, but I don't know if this is a place to travel to.
Yeah.
Or that could be something that we can target. I'm not sure if we are now.
Not as much as we could. Not necessarily. We're not targeting by age most of the time. But it doesn't. We could look into AARP or maybe some other avenues that would be more obvious to target folks who are older.
I got some mail today from them. They had invite them through.
Well, I wasn't calling out anybody.
Well, I think that's pretty good, right? Like, we've thought about it at our organization, because those are the people that have the ability and probably possibly the means to come on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. But you also have to give them a reason to come, right? So thinking through programming and or other places or how you package it or tell the story in the advertising, I think is important, right?
Yeah, and then making sure things are open for them during the week, because the wineries are often closed at the beginning part of the week, and we have restaurants that are closed, and so, you know, we want to push that, but we also want to be careful that we're not inviting people here when they can't
avoiding
do the thing.
Crowd, it could be a song unto itself.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was it?
Avoiding the crowd.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we sell the wineries over the winter, is that you could have a much more intimate wine experience
Sunday
in the winter.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's some kind of incentive to restaurant, cafe, whatever owners to bring back lunches more. I mean, during the pandemic, I was ready to stay takeout only even after the pandemic. It's hard to find people to work. I mean, in this area, again, too, it used to be I could get young people want to just have some extra bucks in their pocket. But now everyone wants $15 an hour, even people that don't know how to sleep on the floor. That's 19, you know? So that's why a lot of them probably close, because they can't find people and then they're not making enough food. But yeah, I wonder if there was something, I don't know, if like night relief or something.
Early bird dinner.
What's that?
Early bird dinner.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is all of our restaurants, we open now at 4:30, close at 8. We don't get a customer barely after 8 o'clock. And we used to want to stay open until 10 pre-pandemic. Don't get
definitely
any time after 8.
What about for older people that, like the Paramount, having special things at the Paramount, you know, special showings of I don't know, a certain type of movie or concerts or something that would appeal to people that would want to come here, experience that, spend the night, one or two nights, dinners at the downtown mall or other places.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's a reason to bring people here, and I'm thinking like January, February also.
Definitely, I think.
And include the wineries.
What we have to do is figure out what that marketing message is, right? Like, so we can't buy all of the, you know, Travel and Leisure magazine to tell them all the things that they could do while they're here in the wintertime. We have to give them a targeted message that moves the needle to get people to come here. So we have to make ourselves look different and, you know, what's the hook, right? Because that's how advertising works.
Right.
And so the other thing that we need is predictable programming. And so if we know that X, Y, and Z are going to happen at X, Y, and Z times, then we can say, this is what's happening. In January, these things happen. In February, these things happen. But it can be very haphazard, and we don't necessarily have a ton of coordination locally to say, well, this is, and we don't have an arts council for me to talk to somebody in an arts council position and say, what are the big things that are happening in the arts community this winter that we could really push? We're pushing the things for the relationships that we had and been able to make.
Yeah.
So, you know, it definitely, a lot of it can be on us, but also how do we start to coordinate that, and then do we have enough money to be pushing out a whole bunch of different messages at the same time? And the answer is no to that. And that, and there's no amount of money in the world for like pushing out hundreds of different messages, right? We just have to figure out what's going to move the needle.
The Friends of Downtown Charlottesville, I mean, maybe they can coordinate some kind of program around the events that are downtown, so the businesses are.
Yeah.
They're open and available. So then they can talk package, and if they can get it together, and that can be much easier for you to implement it and run with it.
And Greer and I have those kinds of conversations. We talked about, like, could we get the restaurants to maybe stagger their days off so that we had some that were open and some that were closed on different days, so that nobody is having to take on too much, but everybody could have a little bit of a slow time so that we always had something open.
If there was like a participating partner, like Chelsea Cutler sold out the Jefferson a week ago Monday. So if there were like, you know, a couple of restaurants that agreed to be open outside of their hours, you know, available, we could cross-make messaging.
One thing is, we do have, and probably will continue to have, more milder winters. And
yeah.
I mean, today's like 67 February, but that's unpredictable too. It's not like we can put a big ad out and say, come to Charlottesville, mild January's, you know, and then all of a sudden we get 10 feet of snow.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Sometimes mild.
Yeah, sometimes.
All right, so we have 3 minutes left, so we had more to talk about, so I'm just going to show you what else is kind of on the docket that we're working through, and I think we'll have some additional conversations to work through some of this, but we'll refine this, and what we'll want to do is we're looking at the vision that was developed in 2019, where it says Albemarle County and Charlottesville will create a better quality of life for residents by being the most inclusive, diverse, welcoming, thriving destination for visitors in the Southeast, and kind of marrying in what are some of those things that we're seeing with the latest research about who we want to be, and maybe updating the vision for the Tourism Master Plan, and then working through our SWOT to see how can we leverage our strengths to get us to that vision, and that will start to help us think through what are some of the you know, pathways that we need to be including in the plan. And then the final thing is just starting to, you know, we've been hearing a number of different priorities, and so we want to spend some time really digging into these and kind of prioritizing the priorities, because, you know, we had a good conversation today about the budget, and, you know, thinking about how targeted advertising messages need to be. You know, we can't have a marketing program for every single one of these. You know, there's not the money to invest in every single one. So how do we, what are the trade-offs? How do we navigate it? What specifically around some of these, whether it's driving the deep business or, you know, affordability, wine, outdoor rec, history, what's that balance? And what is the CUCBB actually
capable or have the ownership over versus, you know, there's some things around affordability that we don't have that control over. And so how do we kind of navigate around that and influence it to promote tourism? So these are things that we want to work through more. Courtney, if you want to...
I was just going to say the master plan is not just a marketing plan. It's also development. And so, you know, it's supposed to be something that we can present to our community to go, this is what we see for the opportunity, this is what the CACVB can do, and this is what the opportunity is for the entire community, if that's the direction we want to take things. So we just saw this morning too, so we've been working through it over the course of a few hours today, but what we were thinking is that we really ought to have another conversation diving into these priorities, and I don't know if we just want to have it at the board level or if we want to open it up to more members of the community to provide feedback in person. I think that might be useful in that we have so many different perspectives and they are in conflict with one another, that it might be if we had, like, if we asked SIR to lead a conversation so that we could work through some of this stuff with a bunch of different perspectives in the room, that might be a really useful conversation. So that's kind of where we left it. I'm seeing some nods, so we'll see what that might look like and keep us on time and everything. So, but thank you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll make sure the data, that you all can get a copy of that, happy to answer any follow-up questions that might pop up.
Yeah. In the interest of wrapping up the meeting, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that, and then I'll be here until people stop asking me questions and talking to me. So I imagine they can be as well.
Okay, we have a public comment. Anyone in the public wanting to make a comment about anything? Okay. Board announcements. Any announcements from the board? Members?
Can I make one staff announcement, which is that
yes.
We have job fairs coming up in March, at the first week in March, so if you wanted to be a part of that, that's kind of like your last opportunity. So see Carla or Chris, who's in the back, afterwards if you're interested. Thanks.
Okay. With no other announcements, we stand adjourned until March 7th at 11 o'clock, Boar's Head.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Do we have a room yet?
We'll send it out.
We'll send it out.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.